All right, hallelujah. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for each and every precious person that you brought out. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word does not return unto you void, but it accomplishes that which you sent it to accomplish. Prospers in the thing for which you sent it. I thank you, Father, for your word going forth tonight, building faith, giving revelation, renewing minds. We thank you for it, Lord. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit here. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Lord, we thank you for leading and guiding us and quickening us by your Spirit. Father, we thank you for Jesus who's here tonight and that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, we thank you that nothing is impossible in this place because Jesus is here. Father, we thank you in advance for bodies healed and bondages loosed off of people's minds and people set free tonight because Jesus Christ is alive and he's here. We thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for working with us and confirming your word through the signs that accompany it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Aren't you glad to know Jesus? Amen. Well, he's good, and he is the same. Everybody say that. Say, he's good, and he's the same. Well, this morning we started talking about faith, and I did want to catch, you know, I want to share a few more testimonies from Vietnam. I want to space them out. You guys were a huge part of that trip, and you're a part of so much of what we do. Jeremy Gall Ministries, you've supported us and prayed for us so much over the years and backed us in so many ways. Teams have gone with us all over this country out of Good News to Kentucky and up to Ohio. And praise God, we've been loved being partnered with y'all. So we were in Vietnam just, I don't know, a month or so ago. I forget, but recently we were in Vietnam. And as the hunger of the people there, praise God. We all ought to be hungry for the things of God. Isn't that right? And to see these people, they would show up an hour and a half before meetings. They would travel for hours to be there. They would, standing room only. They'd be, you know, we'd fill every seat. And then they were standing out the door. I was in this one meeting this one particular night. And it was hot in Vietnam anyways. I mean, I'm hot. You know, Georgia's hot, but Vietnam was hot, hot. It was 113, you know, and humid, tropical. You know, it was hot. And I was in northern Vietnam. It's even down in the central highlands and down in the delta. It gets hotter as you go. So I couldn't imagine. But it was warm. And I was in a church one night, and they didn't have any air conditioning, which is rare there. They have, you know, a lot of air conditioners and stuff. And, oh, Lord, even the Vietnamese folks were hot, and they're fanning themselves. So I'm really hot. I'm like, oh, my. they were, and we had people, every seat filled, and then people up and out the door. And I had to shift in my mind. I had to say, okay, you know, just think, I sweat this much during a workout. So I just have to think this is just working out. You know, and that's somehow mentally I beat it. Thank God he helped me, you know, and we got through it. It was hot there, but people were so hungry and so, like we told, like I told you about the evangelistic service, we told them, okay, you could only bring five friends, and some of them didn't listen, and they brought more people, and told a woman, you can't bring an ambulance, and she brought it anyways. And I was on one note, I was disappointed that you didn't listen. On the other, you got to appreciate that kind of faith. And amen. We ought to be excited about the things of God and hungry. We could have it here in the United States. I think too quickly we dismiss it and say, oh man, isn't it amazing what they're like here? But they're people like we're people. We're all people. Did you know that? They're the same. And it's funny how as you go these places, I have friends there and I talk to them on Facebook and friends in Russia. And they're just people like we're people. There's no reason for us not to have it here. We just got to stir it up. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, say, stir it up, neighbor. I'm talking to myself. Stir it up, Jeremy. Fan into flame, Paul told Timothy, the gift that is in you. Don't neglect it, Paul told Timothy, writer of the New Testament himself. And he said, stir it up. Stir up the gift that's in you. It wasn't that God wasn't using him. It wasn't that he wasn't a believer. It wasn't that he wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost. Paul said, just fan it up. Let it increase. Let it burn brighter. I believe we could all do that. Isn't that right? And I saw some evidence of it there. It was great. One of the testimonies, I was ministering in this church, and it was an international church. And I prayed for some folks, and some cool things happened. One lady, she was from the Philippines. God healed her knee. She had been I believe it was in an accident, in a motorbike accident a couple years before, and the side of her knee was very swollen. She couldn't kneel, and she couldn't bend it, and she had difficulty. She spoke very good English, so I got a lot of this testimony. So she came forward. We just prayed for people in their seats, didn't even lay hands on people. I guess there was about 300 people there. It was a registered church, this one, so it was an open meeting. It was a Sunday morning, and I said, well, who's got a testimony? And all she did was come to the front, and she crawled on her knees across the front, and she said, I couldn't do that before. She was crying, and she had a lot of swelling that had been there for over a year, and it disappeared in this service and just vanished, so she was able to have full range of movement. Amen? Jesus did that. I thank God that he's able to take things away that shouldn't be there, and he's able to put things there that should be there. Amen? So she was crawling, and so then the next day, there's a popular coffee shop in Hanoi called Joma, and it's owned by Canadians, actually, so all the expats and foreigners are there all the time. So I just happened to stop in the next day to grab a coffee. It was close to we rented an apartment in the neighborhood we were in, so I walked over to the coffee shop, and this man comes up to me, a man from Singapore, and I didn't know him, and I just found all this out later. I'm in this coffee shop in Hanoi, and this guy comes up to me, and what's your name? He says, I said, what? You know, why? I'm thinking. He said, what's your name? He said, yesterday I was in your service. And he said, and I thought you were, I forget how he described it, but basically he was like, I thought you were just full of beans, you know, I mean, all your healing and all that kind of stuff you're talking about. And he's like, and then he goes, I had all these problems. I had pain in my stomach, and I had all kinds of internal problems. He went on the list, and he was in constant pain, discomfort, had to go see a specialist, all kinds of things going on. He said, I woke up this morning. You prayed in the service yesterday. I didn't think much of it. I woke up this morning and all my pain was gone. All my symptoms were gone. Stuff that he had for years. And he said, and I woke up and I said, what was that? Who was that man? Here's what he said. Who was that magic man? He said, who was that magic man? Try to understand. Who was that magic man? So, remember the song? Anyways, so he says, who was that magic man? What's his name? He said. And then he runs into me in a coffee shop. He's there and he comes in. And praise God. God healed him. And I got to correct some of his doctrine, amen, and told him I wasn't a magic man, but Jesus healed him because Jesus loves him. Amen. And he's with them always, praise God. So that was something that happened. And I just got a report from last Sunday here in the States. Last Sunday I was minister in Ashtabula at a Assembly of God church. Prayed for a young guy who had severe kidney stones and kidney trouble. I never heard of this before. He was passing like 4 kidney stones a week and in constant pain. And this was like chronic. It had been going on for a while. And instantly the pain left when I prayed for him last Sunday. And Jocelyn was at their church this Sunday again, and he said all this week he has not only been pain-free, but he hasn't passed a single stone. Praise God. And normally it would be 4 on average 4. So aren't you glad that Jesus could handle it? Praise God. He's greater than those things. And he's here tonight. Everybody say he's here tonight. So thank God. Thank you for partnering with us. Thank you for helping us get to Vietnam. We love the people there. We love the country, and we're eager to go back. There's a lot of good folks there and a lot of good things going on, and just honored to be a part of it. A lot of people hungry for God, and there's something that just draws you about hunger and when people want what you have to offer, you know. And listen, every person in this place, if you've been born again more than 15 minutes, you've got something that somebody in the world is very hungry for. Amen? And you've got something to give. And there's people hungry for what you know, and there's people hungry for what you have. And I thank you for helping me go overseas. And maybe you won't go overseas. Maybe you will. We don't want to count that out. But wherever it is, God has a place for you to sow seed, to be a blessing to people, to empower people, to be Jesus to people, to bring Jesus to people, set them free, and minister to them in his name. Amen? So we started, like I said this morning, talking about faith. We're going to go further with that tonight. How many are glad for faith? Let's turn to Mark chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 1. And this is talking about Jesus at his hometown. Mark chapter 6 and verse 1. And this morning we read from this one of the stories where Jesus calmed the storm. And the disciples were terrified, and this life-threatening storm raised up. And they said they were terrified. They woke up Jesus, and Jesus spoke to the storm, and he calmed it. And then he said to them, he asked them this question. He said, "Where is your faith?" In other words, faith was the answer to the storm. That by believing in the authority that Jesus had given them, that was the answer to calming the storm. Aren't you glad that there's answers in the Word of God? Now, thank God that we don't have to be in confusion. We don't have to be in darkness. We don't have to wonder. Man, especially when you're in a situation like that, in an alarming situation, in a situation when they were in danger, it's good to know that the Word of God has answers. And the answer that Jesus gave them, he said, "Where is your faith?" And thank God they had faith. In other words, that faith was the tool for that job. For that particular job, faith was the tool. Faith in the authority that he'd given them. Faith in the dominion that they had in Jesus. That was the tool to calm that storm and to get them through. Out of danger, out of harm, praise God, out of a seemingly impossible situation. And get them into the peace and into the relaxation, if you will. And into the safety that God had for them. Thank God, aren't you glad that the faith of God could get us out of the storm and into the peace, out of danger and into safety, out of the torment of alarming situations and into the comfort and ease of just cruising on smooth waters. The Bible says that in Psalms 23 that he leads us beside still waters. Amen. He restores our soul. Thank God. We noticed this in the story this morning. God wasn't in the storm. He was in the calming of the storm. Everybody, you know, people that today, so many people, they preach and they teach, God's in everything. Everything that happens, God's behind. That's not true. This storm, God was not behind it. It was tormenting them. It was causing them fear. It was endangering their lives. But Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, stood up and he spoke to the storm and he took dominion over it and he calmed it. And so we see that Jesus was in the deliverance and God was in the deliverance and not in the storm. Amen. So faith was the answer we see there. Well, I want to look at another faith story here tonight. Jesus went out from there and came into his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue. And the many listeners were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what is this wisdom given to him? And such miracles as these performed by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown and among his own natives and in his own household. And he could do no miracle there except he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he wondered at their unbelief. And he was going around the villages teaching." Now, I want to point out there, of course, verse 5, a famous verse. "And he could do no miracle there," it says here in the NASB. King James says there he could do no mighty work. I like how the Living Translation says it. Living Translation says because of their unbelief, he could do no miracles there. And it kind of puts it together. It spells it out a little plainer. Living Translation doesn't always get it. It's actually a transliteration, but I like how they got that one. They put it together nicely. But here it says he could do no miracle there, except he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. I just saw this sitting in the office as I was reading it, sitting in pastor's office. It's interesting, God's perspective on what's a notable miracle. He said there he could do no mighty work. There he could do no powerful work, one translation says, except he healed a few people instantly, you know. I mean, that's all. No mighty work, just healed a few people, right? Amen. Boy, that should give some different perspective on your situation. Oh, all you need is a healing? Oh, all right, praise God. That's not even a mighty work in God's book. Amen. Amen. Oh, just a healing, praise God. We need to get God's perspective on our situation sometimes. We need to remember he is God. You know, the Bible talks about magnifying God. Magnifying God means making God bigger in your consciousness. You know, the psalmist said, come magnify the Lord with me. Magnify the Lord. The problem is too often, I've done it, we've all been guilty of it. Boy, so many Christian songs I hear sometimes as I flip on the Christian radio station are guilty. guilty of it. They don't magnify the Lord. They thought the psalmist said, come magnify your problems with me. You know, they talk about how beat down they are, how defeated we are. Let's sing about how defeated we are, but God still loves us. Amen. No, the Bible says, come magnify the Lord with me. That means make God bigger. Not on his throne. He's as big as he's always going to be. When you magnify the Lord, you make him bigger in your consciousness. Amen. You make him bigger in your expectation. You make him bigger in your speaking. You make him bigger in your thinking. You make him bigger in your actions, praise God. How many believe we ought to have a big God? He is big. He's always the same. We don't make God actually any bigger. But as we magnify the Lord amongst ourselves, praise God, he gets bigger in our consciousness, and then he gets bigger in our midst. How many believe it's true? So, there are, you know, we got to get God's perspective. I love this, reading that scripture. Oh, yeah, he could do no mighty works there except just healed a few people. Bless God, if a few people got instantly healed in the name of Jesus in many churches in this town, it would absolutely turn them upside down. Amen. I understand that a few people got healed at a place called Electric Cathedral a couple days ago. And I guess it shook things up a little bit. Amen. God doesn't even count that. Amen. God doesn't even count that as mighty works, as powerful works. Few people getting healed. That's run of the mill, man. You know, probably what you're facing tonight. Oh, Lord, this is good. How many, is this blessing anybody? Turn to your neighbor and say, that's good preaching, neighbor. Amen. So, you know, listen, praise God. Whatever you're facing, we need to get God's perspective. Man, so much of the things that we're facing, they wouldn't even have made the book, you know. There were so many people that Jesus helped, so many thousands of people that Jesus healed. Their testimonies didn't even make the book, you know. Thank God that, you know, he talked about the blind seeing, the deaf hearing, the lame walking, the lepers cleansed, the dead being raised. He just hit the high spots so that you knew whatever you were facing, if it wasn't one of those things, surely he could handle whatever you're facing. Amen. I got good news for you tonight. He could handle whatever you're facing. Amen. And because he lives inside of you, because he's given you the name of Jesus, because he's made you more than a conqueror, because he always causes you to triumph, because he's made you the head and not the tail, you could handle whatever you're facing tonight. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, say, neighbor, you can handle it. Thank God. He is God. Praise God. We need to magnify the Lord. I think that so many of my services, that's one of the main things that I endeavor to do, is to magnify the Lord. Just to remind people exactly the kind of God we serve. To remind people how big he is. Praise God. I love the way that they started that prayer in Acts chapter 4. Pastor Nate, he's not in here tonight. Is he had to working with the kids, or he's in the back. Pastor Nate was talking during offering, said he's been studying Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4. You know, in Acts chapter 4, he read when they went back to their own company and they prayed. And you know how they started out that prayer? They started out that prayer by magnifying the Lord. Before they got to their problems, before they got to their needs, before they got to the situations that they were praying, needing God to intervene in, the first thing that they did was they magnified the Lord, and they reminded themselves, you are the God that created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them, praise God. Oh my God, we need to start more of our prayers that way. We need to, on a daily basis, remind ourselves about how big God is, because it'll give us a different perspective on the problems that we're facing. See, that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to put, praise God, they wanted to put their problems in the right perspective. Amen. I remember in art school, in design class, I had a great design instructor, and it doesn't matter unless you studied art, but he studied at Harvard with a guy, I forget his name right now. Anyways, in different people in design, they say, well, I'm this many degrees from this instructor. So we used to always, we're 2 degrees from this instructor, you know, this guy, this color theorist. But anyways, we would build these little, that's all trivial. Never mind. So moving right along, he'd have us build these sculptures, you know. And most of them, they're small. They were so we could bring them to class, and he'd give us these design problems to solve. Like, you would have to build something that would would accept a marble in one place and then let it out in another place, and it would have to be able to stack on another piece that was able to do the same thing, and then we'd build a big tower with all these sculptures from everybody in the class, and you'd pass the marble through, and it had to pass through everybody's pieces, you know, things like that. And you had dimensions, and then he'd see how creative you could get working within those parameters. So you knew the marble had to come in one place, go out another place, and within the parameters that were given you, he wanted to see how far you could push the envelope. So, you know, what you would make the marble do before it exited your thing, what kind of materials you would do, you know, that kind of thing, right? It's design class. But anyhow, I always remember this. He would want to get us to think in different terms. So he took my sculpture, and then in his pocket, he would carry these little plastic army figures and plastic, you know, figures from train sets and things like that, train boards. And so you'd have your little miniature 1 foot by 1 foot sculpture that you built, and then he'd say, well, now get this perspective on it, and he'd pull out one of these people, and he'd set it next to it, and you'd think, oh yeah, like what would that look like if it was 4 stories tall? And he would just give a different perspective to it, a different context, amen. Are you with me? Put that little figure next to your 1 foot by 1 foot, put your little figure next to that 1 foot by 1 foot sculpture, and you'd say, oh yeah, what if it was like a, you know, huge, like several stories and almost a city block? You see, that's what you do when you magnify the Lord. You get a different perspective on your problem. You thought it was something really big. This is it. It's very big. But then when you put it next to God, amen. When you put it next to God, it's not as big as you thought it was. Praise God. Amen. It's not as big as you thought it was. See, on this world, if you're just looking through the perspective of this world, how hard things are in this world, how difficult it is on this world is not an accurate gauge for you to measure what God can do in your life. This world is cursed. This world, the Bible says, narrow is the way, few are those that find it. You cannot take a general consensus from the way things happen here and determine how your situation is going to turn out with God. You've got to look to God and get God's perspective on your situation. You got to take your problem, amen, like that little figure, and you got to set it next to God, amen. And you've got to see not how, you know, you're focused on this problem. Put it next to God and see what it looks like when you set your problem next to Him, amen. Glory to God. Let that perspective sink in for you. Glory to God. Get a different perspective. So I love that, you know. They're sitting there at Nazareth. There He could do no mighty works except He laid His hands on a few sick people and healed them. I guess those few sick people thought it was a pretty big deal. Amen. He healed them instantly. Not only that, He healed everybody that came to Him. It said every person that He laid hands on got healed. He laid His hands on a few sick people and healed them. Every person that came to Him for help, they all got it. That sounds like revival to me. Sounds like a bad day to Jesus. Amen. That's God's perspective. You know, Lazarus' story is another one, and I like to share this. Praise God, I'm sure some of you haven't heard it. It bears repetition, amen. You know, Lazarus was in bad shape. He was dead 4 days. And looking around tonight, it looks to me like everybody in this room, you came in under your own speed. You're at least 4 days ahead of, him, amen. If Jesus could help him, He could help you too, praise God. Isn't that right? Turn to your neighbor and say, He could help you. If Jesus could help him, He could help you. Man, I don't know. I mean, it makes for a good preaching story, but that's helped me, man, many times, praise God. It's helped me in services. You just got to get God's perspective. Jesus said something when He was at the tomb of Lazarus. He comes up on it. He's dead. You know, He's been dead 4 days, and He says, roll away the stone, He tells them. And they'd say, no, man, it's too late. He stinks, you know. Don't even mess with it. Don't. It's too late. No, man. Jesus says, Lazarus is dead, and for your sakes, I'm glad. Read it, man. John 10. Praise God. Lazarus is dead, and for your sakes, I'm glad, He says. Boy, that's a different perspective on somebody's death, isn't it? I'm glad he's dead, he said. Why was he glad he's dead? He was glad he's dead because he knew that He was going to raise him up and that it would be a sign and a wonder to him, an encouragement to him, praise God. Jesus had a different perspective on the situation that they were facing there that day. Praise God, he's got a different perspective on your situation. Amen. Think about it. Oh, my God. Glory, 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 glory. Man, this is something the old Pentecostals, I know, just they had a handle on. I've seen it, man. I've seen them just shout while the walls were still standing. You know what I'm talking about with Jericho? When Jesus told them, or not Jesus, excuse me, when God told them back there, never mind. So in the Old Testament, I was about to break down the theology, you know. You all get the idea. Yes, Jesus is God in the flesh, but it was Jehovah in those days, right? So they said, he told them to march around Jericho, and they marched around Jericho, and they shouted while the walls were still up. Amen. You know, the New Testament simply says, when you face various tests and trials, count it all joy. Amen. Count it all joy. Praise God. That's God's perspective on a test and a trial, isn't it? When you can walk through a test and a trial and still shout the victory, you've got God's perspective on it. Amen. When you are facing what the devil is threatening you with, and in the natural it looks bad, but you decide to shout the victory anyways before the walls fall down, bless God, you've got God's perspective on the situation. Amen. You can't keep a person like that down. You can't beat a person who shouts the victory when the enemy throws the best that he has at him. Amen. There's this guy at our boxing gym. He's a pro boxer, and his name is Vandell, and he's tough, man. He's tough. He's a light heavyweight, and he's trained himself, right? When he gets a good clip, man, when somebody hits him real good, he smiles and nods his head like that. That will mess with your head, man. He gets popped and he smiles and he's like, yeah, come on, like, smiles about it. Do you know how disheartening that is? When you've just landed the best you've got on a guy and he smiles at you? Come on now. Amen. But he's trained himself to do it just as a knee-jerk reaction, you know, pop. And he's like, yeah, give me another one. You know, he's smiling. I've seen him do it, man. It's impressive. But listen, that's counting it all joy when you face various tests and trials. Amen. No, he's not feeling good, but he just, you know, it's just muscle response at this point in time. But are you hearing me? It's disheartening. You want to dishearten the devil? Praise God. You want to shake your adversary? The Bible says you've got an adversary. The Bible says he goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Why don't you just train yourself like that boxer that when he gets a good clip in on you, you just smile back at him. Amen. And you just shout the victory. Praise God. I'll tell you, it'll dishearten him. Praise God. It'll back him down. Amen. There's nothing better that you can do. I think that one of the greatest releases of faith is to just laugh. Amen. Amen. Just laugh. Praise God. Try it on right now. Say, ha, ha, ha. Amen. But you see, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. You got to get God's perspective. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Everybody was crying. Jesus said, I'm glad. Oh, man, praise God. There's freedom in that, isn't there? There's freedom in being able to have joy in the midst of a storm. There's freedom in being able to have peace when it seems like the world's coming down. Boy, it feels better, you know. It feels better to be in faith than it does to be tormented by fear and doubt. Amen. There's a freedom in it, praise God. And while the walls are still standing, praise God, while the walls of Jericho are still standing, when you've got God's perspective, you know that though they may be standing now, it's not a big deal for God to bring them down. Though they may be boasting now, it's not a hard thing for God to bring them to dust and bring them to the earth, praise God. And bless God, if he's done it for you before, how many people here he's done it for you before? Raise your hands. If he's done it for you before, you've got something to look back on. And you can say, I remember, you know, David did that when he was facing Goliath. He said, yeah, I slew the bear. And with God, I slew the lion. And now this uncircumcised Philistine, he's going to be nothing. God's been faithful to me before. He's faithful to me today, praise God. That's God's perspective. You know, doubt and unbelief, it's unreasonable for the believer. But the enemy, he beats the same old drum, you know. He's just got, Brother Hagin told the story. We were just talking about it today. You know, how many have ever heard of Kenneth E. Hagin before? You know, struggling preacher from Tulsa. And he just, you know, struggled out a career for himself. Amen. No, he's impacted the body of Christ. Even if you don't know his name, even if you don't recognize, you've probably been affected by his teachings in some way. I know many of our families here. Praise God. For my dad, he had got some of his books in a bookstore, and he just was so blessed to hear that God was a good God and wanted to do good things in his life. Amen. Well, he had this powerful testimony. Doctors had given him up to die at the age of 16. And he had several incurable blood diseases, and he had an incurable blood disease and a heart deformity, and either one of those would have killed him. Excuse me, that's how it goes anyways. And the doctors, the best doctors of the day that they went to in Texas, they couldn't help him, and they gave him up to die, and he did die. I mean, he was in and out of consciousness and slipping away, and he tells the whole story in many of his books and in many of his teachings. But something we were talking about today is that, you know, sometimes you don't always get the full picture of the story because you tell different parts at different times, but those symptoms hung on at different levels for a long time. You know, it was a while, and he talked about even the fear that would try to follow him around, and he said it was like a little dog that followed him, and he said after you've been paralyzed and in bed like that, unable to move your body, and there was that fear that he had to overcome. And even after he was healed, even after he felt that presence of God like honey coming down from his head, and you know, many of you know the story, and it came down and he felt that feeling come to his legs and like a million needles in his legs. And he felt God. Even after that, there was slight symptoms that still tried to hang on and torment him. And that fear, he said, was following him like a dog. And then even after he got free of those symptoms, then years later, the enemy tried to bring them back on him. And he was out on the road, and he was by himself. And he was ministering out on the road. He was traveling as an evangelist. And these alarming heart symptoms came on him years after he was healed back there in his grandfather's house on College Street in McKinney, Texas, right? I don't know the address. Do you know? I forget. He always would say it. I should know it. So anyways, he was there. He got healed. Years after that, he's preaching out on the road, and these alarming symptoms come on him. And the enemy tried to say, you're not going to get it this time. You know, you were healed all those times. You've been healed of different things so many times, but you're not going to get it this time. The devil, he's unreasonable, isn't he? But if you buy into his lies, if you get his perspective, see, we want God's perspective, not the enemy's perspective. Amen. The enemy's perspective is you always lose. The enemy's perspective is doom and gloom. The enemy's perspective is destruction. You're not going to get it. You've got it before, but it won't work this time. It's back. Amen. You know, that's the enemy's perspective. God's perspective is you've already got it. So you can shout the victory even in the midst of the storm. Amen. And that's how he came back at him. He said, I've already got it, devil. I'm not trying to get it. I've already got it. What do you mean I'm not going to get it this time? I've already got it. Praise God. God's perspective on it. God's perspective on it. Our problems aren't near as big as we think they are. And they're certainly not near as big as God is, and not near as big as his ability. I like the NIV when in the Ephesians prayer. In Ephesians, where, you know, the Ephesians prayer in chapter 1. And it goes through the prayer. And one of the scriptures in the NIV, I like the way they word it, they talk about his incomparably great power that is for those who believe. That God's incomparably great power that is for those who believe. There's no comparison to the things that come against us compared to the power of God. God's power is incomparably greater than the tests and the trials we face. Amen. It's greater. Everybody say it's greater. But we've got to magnify the Lord. Amen. We've got to magnify the Lord. I don't know how much we're going to get to tonight and how much I'll have to break up into Monday and Tuesday. But I'm preaching myself happy. Is this helping you tonight? Amen. He's bigger than our problems. He's bigger than sickness and disease. And when you magnify the Lord and when you get God's perspective, take some time. Thank God, come to services like this. And I'm not saying that because, you know, I want to fill my own services. I practice this myself. On the way driving down here, I listened to this great series on overcoming fear. 5 hours, man. But I'm telling you, at the end, you know, I just kept on episode after episode after episode. 5 hours of teaching, you know, blasted through. But I'm telling you, after that, praise God, fear had lost some serious ground in my life. Amen. Amen. And I love getting in services. I love doing things that stir my heart, praise God. I love doing things that magnify the Lord in my consciousness. And to get the right perspective, that God is bigger, amen, than the problems that I face, or God is bigger than the problems of the people that I'm going to minister to, amen, that God is bigger, praise God. That's something that, we talk a lot about empowerment in these meetings, and praise God, this church is about empowering people. Let me tell you, one of the key things to ministering healing to people is to get yourself out of the picture, to not think about yourself, to not think about how anointed you are, to not think about, well, who am I, and to start thinking about who Jesus is, and to realize that it's not about me, but praise God, it's about His name, and He backs up His name, and He has the name that's above every other name that's named, and no sickness or disease has a chance to stand against the name of Jesus. I don't even think if it can stand against me, but I think about it can't stand against Him, praise God. It's got to give way, praise God. Boy, it's the same way with whatever you're facing in your own life. Just take yourself out of the picture. Don't worry about, do I have enough faith? Boy, I don't know if I've ever believed for anything like this before. I know Sister So-and-so. She's holy and she's whatever and she's this and that. She's been in church a long time and all these things and she reads the Bible a lot. Get yourself out of the picture. Don't think about how big you are compared to your problem. Think about how big God is compared to your problem. Amen. Paul said it this way, the Apostle Paul, he had a great perspective on it. He said, I have no sufficiency of myself, my sufficiency is in Him. Yeah, I'm insufficient, you're insufficient. We don't have the sufficiency to do what needs to be done in this day. We don't have the sufficiency to win the battles that we need to win, but bless God, He's sufficient. Hallelujah. He's sufficient. Smith Wigglesworth used to say, I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. Amen. He would look at himself in the mirror and he would say, God lives in this suit of clothes. Praise God. We write it off as just, oh, he was super, people write it off. Oh, he was just so anointed. He was just, a special call was on his life and a special impartation was on him to do what he did. I want you to know that so much of what he did had to do with his consciousness and how big his God was. Yeah, a man who would look at himself in the mirror every day and remind himself that God lives inside of this suit of clothes, he had the right perspective on things. And that had a big thing to do with everything that he was able to do and God was able to do through him. Amen? Well, I've got good news for you tonight. God lives inside of your suit of clothes. You're 1,000 times bigger on the inside than you are on the outside. Bless God. Let's remind ourselves of these things. Let's stir ourselves up in these things. Let's magnify the Lord together. And then let's go out, praise God, and face the giants that have been boasting. Amen. The giants that have been boasting wrongfully before God's people, that have been out there taunting us. Amen. And they, they've seemed so big. But bless God, let's go out there. Let's call them out. Let's remember the lions. Let's remember the bears and how God's delivered us before. And then let's conquer the giants. The giants in your life that have taunted you. The giants in your life, in my life, that have kept us hiding in the trenches. Amen. Let's get the right perspective. Was David bigger than the giant? No. Was David a physical match for the giant? No. But what David reminded himself was that there was a God that was bigger than the giant, that was on his side and that was in his corner and that he had a covenant with. Praise God. Amen. Bless God. Let's just thank God for it tonight. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy, Father. God's perspective. When you get God's perspective, of course blind eyes open. Of course deaf ears open. Of course tumors disappear. What's it to God? What's it to God even to create missing things? He put them all there in the first place. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Nothing's too hard for Him. Amen. What was the... Now, this is the point where I usually ask Jocelyn. Jocelyn, what was that last testimony? Somebody we had recently, maybe it was in Vietnam that something was created. I can't remember. But anyhow, something we thought, God, of course He's able to put things there that are missing. Look around. What small thing is it for God? Let's think about again as we wrap it up here. Mark 6. He could there do no mighty works except for heal a few people. It's not even a mighty work in God's book, people getting healed. Amen. Not even a mighty work. Easy for God. Everybody say it's easy for God. Healing is easy for God. And the more we get God's perspective, the easier it gets for us. the easier it gets for us to let God use us. Amen. Amen. The easier it gets, thank God. It's not hard. Mm-mm-mm. Don't ever say that. Don't ever let yourself think that it's hard to get healed, that it's hard to overcome any problem, that it's hard. Why is it so hard to get out of this situation? Why has it been so hard? That's not God's perspective. That's the wrong perspective. Amen? It's easy. Jesus said, my burden is easy and my yoke is light. It's easy. Praise God. It's easy to conquer sickness and disease. It's easy to get healed. It's easy to get set free. Amen? It's easy. Hallelujah. It's easy for lame legs to walk. It's easy for deaf ears to hear. It's easy for blind eyes to see. Praise God. Mark 6, there he could do no. It's not even a mighty work for sicknesses to be healed. Praise God. It's easy. Amen. It's easy for you to get what you need from the Lord. Just start saying it's easy. Praise God. Amen. It's easy. It's not hard. It's not only is it not hard for God, but it's not hard for you. It just takes some faith. And if you're a believer, that's what you do. What do? Believers believe. Amen. You're a believer. Do we have any believers in here tonight? What do believers do? Fish swim, birds fly, believers believe. Amen. Praise God. And nothing, the Bible says, nothing is impossible for those who believe.